You know, some of us may not know each other, as Trey just pointed out. I'm from Bend, and raise your hand if you're also from Bend. That's the Bend crew. Thanks for making the drive over the snowy pass. And it's been a while since we've been together, from COVID and everything else, and being focused as we should be on our different locations. It's kind of in my face, but we can turn it off if we need. And thanks, awesome. Well, raise your hand if you're from Salem. There's the Salem crew. Thanks for driving down the I-5. And everybody else, you're from Eugene and Junction City and Cresswell. And thanks for being here. Thanks for being here, you guys, as well.
You're welcome.
Thanks for hosting.
You know, we hope we can do things like this once a quarter. So come to Bend in June and or one of our other locations. We'll figure that out and be talking together. Because we want to encourage our different locations. We want to come together. We want to have the fellowship. We want to be united, which is the focus of my short sermon today. We had an awesome time yesterday, and in it I brought up that in Bend I once asked people, what's the one thing that would make the most kingdom impact? The one thing we should or could do? And there are a couple different answers, but what do you guys think? What's the one thing we could do that would have the most kingdom impact? Unity and prayer. Okay, you guessed the title of my lesson. The one thing we could do to have the most kingdom impact. If you didn't say unity and prayer by the start of this lesson, I hope that you'll at least consider unity and prayer by the end of this lesson. You can open up your Bible to Acts, and we're just going to look at a few short scriptures. Starting in Acts 1:14, we just want to be searching out what's the one thing. Acts 1:14 says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. This is before Peter's gospel sermon, before they're united in evangelism or communion or even fellowship. The seed of the early church was constantly united in prayer. And that's actually a seed that we have in Corvallis, or in Bend, or Salem, or Eugene, wherever disciples gather together, before the church leadership even comes along, before all these other church elements, they were united in prayer. Speaking of which, let me just pray right now for the rest of this lesson. And I know some people who couldn't make it from Bend because they were sick, and others who are out sick today, and I just think of them, I want to lift them up. Father God, I pray for the Andersons over in Bend who have the flu. Same with the Jensens in Corvallis who are dealing with the flu, Lord. And even people here in Eugene who are recovering in their health, who aren't here who are here that have health things, Lord. I pray that there can be some healing there, God. Amen. Father God, I pray for the rest of our time together, even between us, that there can be some healing of fellowshipping together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, fast forward 10 verses. In Acts 1:24, it says they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. So now they have church leadership. And that's great. This is where they cast lots because they need to select another to represent the 12 apostles, right? They want to have church leadership. That's a good thing. But they were determined to let God decide in prayer. I know that Eugene is deciding on a leader right now. And I just got to say, I really love Jason. I heard him say the other night, whatever happens, we want to be surrendered to the Lord and his decision. That's the heart of Acts 1:24 right here. Amen to Jason, to the Eugene Hiring Committee. They want to make the right decision for Eugene, right, guys? And same with them in Acts. They trusted the Lord enough to let him make the decision through prayer. So fast forward to Acts 2:42. Now, a lot has probably happened within one chapter, and I'm betting a lot of prayer happened. We know that at this point, Peter has preached his gospel sermon, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the early church. And it says in Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Devoted. It means being earnest. Earnest to something. It means to persevere in something. Devoted means to be constantly diligent in something, or to continue, or to adhere to something closely. That means they had a discipline of prayer, a habit of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. It wasn't a one-time event, much like we had a prayer workshop yesterday, but it was a continued lifestyle they were devoted to. So what's the one thing that made the most kingdom impact? You know, before we go even further, because this is a fitting verse and I am giving a sermunion, we're going to take some time to have communion. A little break in my message here. We're going to go to our Father in prayer. We're going to pass out the communion, which I hope is back there. Is that how you guys do communion? Yeah. That's how they do communion in Eugene. Acts 2:42 says they broke the bread together in their homes, in the gathering. That's what we're going to do right now. So I'm just going to pray. Father God, they came together. They were devoted not only to prayer, but to communion so they could remember you, so that they could be, again, united with each other, have communion with each other. So as we take the bread, let's remember your body and this body that we are together. And as we take the juice, let's remember your blood. Let's remember that that's the blood that ties us together and bonds us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to make it all about Jesus when we have communion, right? Love celebrating Jesus in communion. They go on from there. I love yesterday, even we had a time of, we had the prayer workshop. We said, hey, let's wait on the Lord before we even get ahead of ourselves. We just had 5 minutes of silence. That was some beautiful silence. In Acts 3:1, go another chapter forward. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Now, that's kind of strange whenever time comes up in the Bible. It says they did this at 3 o'clock. But it's because it was very unstrange in their culture. The 3 o'clock time of prayer, that's the time all of the Jewish people said we better go to the synagogue for the prayer service because they're going to be praying the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, 3 times a day. Corporate, communal prayer. What's interesting is that that continued, as we see here throughout the book of Acts, and as we read from the first century church fathers, it continued even as the early church became mostly Gentiles that didn't have that Jewish culture. They still came together communally to pray 3 times a day. Wow. Yeah, I say, wow, okay. I'm not doing that 3 times a day, but I pause at lunch and reflect and pray, and it's this heart of being synced, not only to God, though, they came together in prayer. There's a lot of community going on in prayer right here. And it likely actually morphed, we read from some of those early church writings, to something much more like the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Praying it 3 times a day. They were pretty devoted, I would say. And then after about 3 centuries, that started to fall off, that practice. Even in fasting, we read in the Didache, they say, you know, the Pharisees, they fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. We are not going to be like them. We fast on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They were devoted to prayer and fasting. In Acts 4:20, Peter and John, they're praying, they're going to the temple, they're healing people. All of this stuff happens, so they have to go before the Sanhedrin, right? And they're on trial. So Acts 4:20 says, and they reply to people telling them, stop talking about Jesus. They say, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They couldn't keep it to themselves. I think because they were full of prayer. And so then you see in Acts 4:23-24, everyone with me? Yeah. All right, we only got one or two more verses. It says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said at that trial. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. So they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to share what they had seen and heard. They had to give this good report to people. This is not good news, but I think it's the principle of good news sharing that we sometimes do in the church. And much like we read about communion, so we wanted to practice communion, here we read about good news, so I just wanted to open it up for some good news, because we have people from Bend and Salem and Eugene, and we need to hear some good news and how God is working from each other. And we also have people who got to take part in the workshop yesterday that might want to share about that experience. So from a few people, what's some good news sharing? Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, Hailey's sermon on compassion, and then God working through us to have compassion. Thanks for sharing some good news. Hope there's more sharing in the fellowship today. And we're going to keep reading. A few verses later in Acts 4, 23 through 24. You know, we read about communion, and then we practiced communion. We read about good news and practiced good news. We're going to keep going. Acts 4, 23 through 24 says, as soon as they were free, oh, we read that one. They were freed. They couldn't keep it to themselves. Yeah. No, all right. Scroll down more to verse 31. It says, after this prayer again, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So that's how you shake up a meeting place. That's how you gain boldness. Prayer precedes boldness. It also precedes unity, collaboration, working together. Because look at verse 32. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. That's why I think the one thing for the greatest kingdom impact is probably prayer. I think the one thing that could be the most unifying for our churches together is probably prayer. I think the one thing that could help us proclaim Jesus the most is probably prayer. The one thing that would help us sacrifice for each other and share things with each other. The one thing to help us be one in heart and mind, or even engaged in the mission together, as they are here in Acts 4:32. I think it's prayer, and prayer that's depending on God's grace that powerfully works within us. Amen, guys?
Amen.
But prayer is the seed to all of these things. So, I really believe that Joey preaching isn't going to unite a disciple in Bend with a disciple in Salem so much as a disciple in Salem praying with a disciple in Bend. I think that will probably unite them more than just hearing Joey preach. I'm not against preaching, though. I am preaching right now. I've preached for hundreds of hours and hundreds of sermons, and thanks, Bend disciples, for listening to me for so much. But we always want to look at what is written. We always want to put it into practice. So prayer, this is what's written for the early church. For the first four chapters of the book of Acts, we just hit on seven where it mentions prayer, prayer, prayer. They worked a sermon in there somewhere, but I think more of the weight is on them meeting together for prayer.
Yes. Yep.
Not against preaching, but Jesus told us, hey, you want to preach or teach to obey. Jesus showed his disciples, he said, hey, you should pray together. Acts 10:02, the harvest is plentiful, workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, send workers into the harvest field. And they went out and prayed together. And Jesus always, whatever he taught them to obey. And he taught them by showing them. So when they were curious, how do we love each other? He said, here's a three-part sermon series on love. No, he actually bent down, he took a towel, and he washed their feet. And he taught love by loving. He taught prayer by praying. You might guess where this is going. There's a saying, it says, tell me and I'll forget, show me and I may remember, involve me and I'll understand. I like that proverb. Tell me and I'll forget. Sometimes I forget what I preached on last week. Sounds like everyone remembers Hailey's sermon though, so that's a good thing. But tell me and I'll forget, show me and I might understand. Done in that order, we might make Pharisees. Done in reverse, we make disciples. Involve me and I'll understand. Because we want to reproduce who we are, not what we tell people to do in making disciples. We want to practice what's written. So it's 11:40 now, and we want to take 20 minutes to go to noon praying together. You might take Acts 4:32. They were one in heart and mind as they prayed. Or maybe you want to focus on John 17, Jesus praying for our unity. But grab a partner, maybe a brother or a sister, who's not from your local church, so that you can be united, one in heart and mind. There's plenty of places to scatter in this building, or you might do a quick loop, but we're going to be back here at noon, singing at noon to have a couple of ending songs and worship together. You know, if somebody's in your path and they're alone, assume the Holy Spirit is saying yes. You should probably maybe talk to that person and pray for them, much like we just heard about in that good news sharing and sharing that compassion. But really, the goal is not evangelism. It is being united with each other. So I hope you also grab a number from a disciple you don't know today. If you pray with them, say, hey, let's do this again. Have a prayer call maybe a month from now. And that's what will help unite our churches between Bend, Eugene, Corvallis, Salem, and beyond. The one thing to make the most kingdom impact. So I'm going to pray, and then you guys are going to pick a partner. Sound good?
Yeah.
And we are back in 20 minutes at noon. Father God, I pray that we can find a partner, grab a number, be one in heart and mind, one in prayer, be compassionate with each other, hear each other's needs, God. And at the end of the day, be united so we can come back at noon, worship together, and continue the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.